Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to hour two of the Eric Metaxas Show, talking to our friend Ken Fish with Orbis Ministries, O-R-B-I-S, ministries.org. So Ken, at the end of the last hour, you were talking about the prophetic, and let's just keep going in that direction.
Well, so, you know, I was doing this and lead by example, but my team was engaged as well. And so several of them, and one guy in particular, who's a pastor over in North Carolina, you know, he was jumping in and he was calling people out of the crowd. He would typically walk into the meeting having prayed and gotten words, and he had a list of specific people he was looking for, specific words. So it was really a very everybody got to play kind of environment. And then the Costa Ricans got involved. And for many of them, prophecy had been shut down for a long time. But as they got involved, things really accelerated. And I've always said that prophecy is really the leading edge of awakening. And so there was something stirring among this group of people that we were ministering to. Well, transition now to a day or so later, and we changed venues. We were with the same movement of churches, but they wanted to, you know, have the meetings move around because some of the people didn't have the ability to, you know, go from to various parts of the city. We were in San Jose the entire time. And so we went to this other church, and it was kind of crazy, but I was teaching at one point, and I got on this, I call it a prophetic roll. And it's the teaching becomes prophesying. You sort of transition out of staying on the script, and you're speaking kind of as the words are flowing to you. And I was talking about this this endemic problem that many churches have of quenching the Holy Spirit and grieving him. You know, Billy Graham, when he was alive, one time made a famous statement that for most churches, if the Holy Spirit didn't show up on Sunday, and I think he said 95% of churches, they wouldn't even notice. And I think that's largely true even to this day. I mean, Billy's only been gone a couple of years. But I got on this roll, and I wasn't even really thinking about what I was trying to say. It was just sort of coming out of me. And I went on this kind of thing for about 15 minutes talking about quenching the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, not knowing the power of God, and it weakens our Christian witness, and it makes everything we say seem very theoretical so that it's your opinion against my opinion, and nobody's getting free, and so no one's really experiencing the kind of life that we see in the Bible, and with it, it makes it easy to deny the Bible, and you err because you know neither the Scriptures nor the power of God. That was sort of the direction it was going. And I at one point, I kind of realized what I was saying, and I sort of stopped, and I thought, how do I walk it back from here? Because I've really said a lot, right? And we took a break, and then we reconvened, and I taught a little bit more, and then I was going to do ministry time, and the national leader of this movement of churches I was with approaches the front, and I'm thinking, okay, this is it. I'm going to be kicked out, and you know, this is it. We're done. And he asked me for the microphone, and he begins to pray, and he says, God, we are sorry that we have grieved your Spirit and we have quenched you. We repent of the fact that we have been in unbelief, that we have denied what the Scriptures teach, not only the very doctrines, but we have denied the practices. And I myself am guilty of this. And then the Spirit of God fell on him while he was praying. His knees buckled, the microphone tumbles out of his hands to the floor, and he hits the floor sobbing. And then the Spirit of God hit like a cluster bomb over the whole room, and everybody on the room got on their faces and begins to pray. And across the room, people are wailing and howling and repenting of having grieved the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't see this very often. So miracles are impressive, healings are impressive, but to see an entire movement on its face before God, repenting of having grieved and quenched him, I mean, it was extraordinary. And this went on for a while, and then people began coming up and confessing their sins publicly over the microphone. in front of the whole room, hundreds of people. And they're, you know, they're crying out and they're repenting. And this went on and on and on and on.
This sounds like revival.
It does sound like revival. The next day, we walked into a meeting. And I think it was because we'd cleared the ground on a lot of that stuff. The next day, we walked into the meeting. And, you know, the word of knowledge was flowing with great surety. And I called 9 people out of the crowd, gave them their specific conditions, had them come up, and all 9 of them were healed. We had 100% healing because we'd cleared that unbelief. Even Jesus couldn't do great works of power in Nazareth because of their unbelief, Mark 6:5. That had been addressed the previous day, and so it was like we had an open heaven. And so that we were living under this funnel, and then other people came up, and every person we prayed for got healed in these meetings. Everybody, not most, everybody. It was incredible. And then one of the most dramatic healings to me, the Lord, you know, showed me something in the scripture early on in the COVID pandemic, and we began praying against this spirit called Keteb. I did a social media post on it. People can go find it on YouTube or elsewhere on our social media channels. And it's gone kind of viral. Thousands of people have listened to it. And I've gotten thousands of reports coming into, you know, our email, to our inbox, through Facebook and other message media. Thousands of people have picked this prayer up, and there have been many, many, many people healed of COVID, in many of them dramatically and instantaneously, although not all. But there have been literally thousands of healings from COVID. Well, there was this one woman there. She was what we call a long-termer with COVID. She'd had it over a year ago, and she had lost her ability to smell or taste. And yet, she could smell what amounted to rotting flesh. Now, it wasn't overriding. She had no smell, but there was this constant sort of smell of charnel, rotting
flesh.
Actually,
you know what? I think you told this story when we were together on Skype. This is one of the most bizarre stories. So I'm not going to assume people remember that. Please keep going.
Well, she got, you know, we prayed for her, and short version of the story. And by the way, this didn't take long. This one was about a 5-minute prayer. That smell left. She no longer smelled rotting flesh after a year of it. But then someone, just as I walked into that meeting to lead it, had given me a chocolate bar. You know, this is a gift. So I ripped it open and I handed it to her and I said, "Smell this." And she smelled it and she began weeping because for the first time in a year she could smell. And then I broke a piece off and I gave it to her and she ate it. And so the first taste she had after a year was chocolate, the sweetness of chocolate. And, you know, it was almost prophetic in its own regard. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And so she was so overcome with emotion by this, she fell on the floor weeping that the Lord had set her free of this long-term COVID condition that nobody knew what to do with it. And she could now smell and taste again.
And the punchline is she moved to Hershey, Pennsylvania. Just kidding. That's not true. I love these stories. We need to know that these kinds of things are happening. Now, so since Costa Rica, I'm trying to remember, where have you been since then? You haven't been traveling as much
as
normal.
Not a lot. No, I came home. We had, you know, Christmas and New Year's. I went on my annual prayer retreat. Then I did filming for my school. And, you know, on the way to do the filming for the school, I went to Houston where the kid got healed.
Yeah.
And here we are in February. So that's it.
Well, it's incredible. You and I have talked about so much offline. And I never remember what we've talked about offline, so I don't want to cover the same thing that we've talked about when we were together on the air. But you do a number of trips. You and I were talking about doing a trip to Greece either this fall or next spring, where you do teaching in the footsteps of Paul and that kind of thing. But you also do ministry.
That's correct.
Which is crazy.
I learned that from John Wimber. It's not enough just to talk about this stuff. It's important, and people need the grounding in the Word of God.
Yeah.
They need to have a, you know, framework for what are we doing here, especially because some of this is literally shifting people's worldview around.
Yeah.
So that's really important. I don't want to undercut the teaching office of the church.
Can a worldview be shifted literally? I think not. We're going to be right back talking to Ken Fish. We'll be right back. folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Hey, folks, if you could make money off of abortion or pornography, would you do it? I hope the answer is no. But I want to tell you, Robert Netsley, the founder of InspireInsight.com, he was the president of his local pro-life pregnancy center when he discovered that he owned investments in three companies manufacturing abortion drugs. Well, God helped him to see that he was making money from abortion, pornography, LGBT activism, and the list goes on. And that's why he created InspireInsight.com. InspireInsight.com gives you instant access to biblical values data on over 23,000 stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs so you can invest to the glory of God. You need to go to InspireInsight.com today and screen your 401ks, IRAs, and other investment accounts. I did, and I was shocked. Now I'm able to clean out the junk and invest in companies actually doing good things. Go to InspireInsight.com today and register for free. That's InspireInsight.com. Go there.
Look out. Here comes Ken Fish. Ken, we're talking about a lot of things. Should we transition to Atlanta, Georgia?
Sure, let's do that.
Okay, because you were there recently?
Very recently. What is today? What is today? Thursday?
Whatever today is, you were there.
I was there less than a week ago.
Okay.
And so this is a church that I visited several times last year, actually. They were thrilled that I wasn't overseas, so they grabbed as much as
they
could.
Are you able to say the name of the church?
Yeah, it's called LifeGate International, and it's in the suburb of Atlanta called Snellville.
Snellville?
Snellville, Georgia.
That's why they shoot all that snipe, isn't it?
It could be, yeah.
Okay, so Snellville, I don't know that church.
Shooting snipe in Snellville.
But go ahead.
So, you know, we had a good-sized crowd that came out, and the Lord was moving very powerfully. We had some mass healings where sometimes the Spirit of God will move over the room, and people just get freed of things without really anyone touching them. It's right. It's a mass healing. So we had one move of the Spirit like that. And then people who maybe didn't get healed in that moment, in that wave, came up and they got some prayer. And a lot of them then got their healing. So we kind of do it in two waves when that's occurring. But there was one story I wanted to share in particular of a woman. And I've got a picture on my phone with her and me after the fact. A friend had brought her, and she had multiple sclerosis, MS. And I don't know why, but we've seen a lot of people healed of MS through the years. It just seems to be one of those diseases.
And by the way, what in the world could be more dramatic than being healed of MS?
Right.
I mean, when I hear that, it's just astonishing.
That's right. It is astonishing. Because it's ordinarily fatal, and it's you know, it starts out as more of an annoyance and inconvenience, and it becomes ultimately quite painful, and then it leads to a really horrible, malingering death. But anyway, she had this problem, and she came up with a conveyance. And because of the way things were going there, there were a lot of people who had to wait a while for me to pray for them, but she waited patiently, and I ultimately got to her. And when I first prayed with her, you know, you were asking earlier about what's the process? How do we do this? What are we looking for? I've learned that with multiple sclerosis, it is frequently true. Note that I did not say always true. I'm saying that more for the listeners than for you. That those people have had some kind of physical traumatic experience. And it could range from a car accident to a physical beating, maybe at the hands of their parents, and anything in between. So there's no...
I've never heard that before, and it's always... I'm fascinated by that kind of thing, because you know, we all at some point have to be our own doctors, and it's interesting to understand the landscape of this stuff.
Well, I mean, I didn't come to that easily. It was only after praying for a lot of people with MS and thinking about what do these people all have in common. So,
does the medical establishment have any sense of this?
I'm not aware of it, no.
Okay. Strike three for the medical establishment. Please keep going.
Well, I think it's mainly because medicine is tuned to look for chemical markers and things like that. But, you know, we are integrated beings, and the things that happen to us, emotions matter, physical stuff matters.
Yes.
It all matters.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to be inclusive in what I deal with. So anyway, I just kind of got to the chase with her, and I said, have you ever had any experience where there was some sort of physical abuse or trauma? Well, what do you know? Yes, she had. So I prayed specifically into those stories that she told me that had happened. There were three of them. And so I was looking to unlock whatever damage may have been done to her that set the precondition for the MS. That's not the MS. It's like laying mines in a minefield. Now that they're there, later on, something's going to make them go off. So we kind of dealt with all that. And then I prayed for healing for her body. And she felt, she said, it felt like fire went through her body. And it's often true that when people are being healed, they'll describe something like heat, or if it's even hotter than heat. Heat is kind of warm. Fire is like, this is almost uncomfortable, right? Or can be uncomfortable. And sometimes people will describe feeling, say, like a low-grade electrical current or something like that. Anyway, she felt this fire go through her, and she said, I think I've just been healed because my numbness is gone. And I said, okay, great, let's go for a walk. So we left the conveyance behind, and I, you know, kind of took her hand. I said, now, don't you worry about falling. I'm stronger than you are, and I'm in good shape. I said, if you stumble or you lose your balance, I will catch you. I don't want injury to be your concern. I just want you to try doing what you can't do. And so I walked her to the back of the church. And there was other ministry going on, so I wasn't grandstanding for the camera. It was just her and me. There were some people that were particularly watching us. But there were other things going on because I had a prayer team, and they were taking care of other people.
Got it.
But I walked her to the back, and then I walked her to the front, and then I walked her to the back, and I walked her to the front. And I said, how does that feel? She goes, I feel really good. She said, I feel strong in a way that I haven't felt strong. And I said, okay, I want you to do something here. I want you to stand on one foot, and I want you to raise the other leg so that you try to get your thigh parallel to the ground and see if you can hold that. And this woman is, she's elderly. She's not decrepit elderly, but she's elderly. She did that. And she couldn't believe that she could do it. I said, switch legs and try it that way. So she did it that way. And she could do it. I said, now hold it.
I don't have MS. I don't think I could do that.
Okay, well, there you go.
I mean, but seriously, that's like a big deal. What you're describing is not it's not walking.
This is, like I say, real healing to withstand scrutiny, right? So she could do all that. And then she goes, you know, I still feel a little bit on the bottoms of my feet as though I can't quite fully feel the floor. I can feel it better, but it's almost like I have dead spots on the bottom of my feet, so I don't have, like, full contact with the floor. And now I don't have MS, and, you know, when I stand barefooted, or for that matter in shoes, it's a fairly uniform sense of contact with what is immediately below the soles of my feet. If I got shoes on, it would be my shoes. If I'm barefoot, it'd be the floor. She said, so it's kind of spotty. And I said, right, okay. Now, I've also learned that it is often true, but not always, again, for the listeners, that MS can have a spirit, an evil spirit that is behind it. And so I said, I want you just to look me in the eye for a second. So she did that. And, then, you know, there are other people standing around. I wasn't trying to do anything skeevy. And just to make sure that her head was steady, I put my hands gently on the sides of her head like this. So I held her head, and then as I looked in her eye, I said, I command the spirit of MS to come out. And her eyes rolled back in her head, and she kind of, like that, and she said, something just left me. And I said, yeah, I think that was probably the last of it, what you needed. I said, how do your feet feel? And she said, I can feel my feet completely. She goes, it's fine. I said, let's go for another walk. So we were walking, and as we were walking, she goes, I don't need to hold on to you. I'm fine. So she's... I had her try the exercise. I said, now, go to your doctor and have him run brain scans on you, because when people get MS, it looks like a small volcano or a crater that forms up here, particularly in the frontal lobes of the brain. And they can see them on a good, you know, an MRI or a CAT scan. I said, go get tested, because those will have either vanished or they will have dried up, like an extinct volcano is the way some people describe it when they see it. And I said, and get your blood tested, because you have chemical markers. Now, this only happened like 4 days ago, so I haven't gotten the report back. But I instructed her to go get medical check, because real healings withstand scrutiny. So we did as much checking as we could do in Atlanta, and everything looked good. But I'm now waiting for that medical report to come back.
But what's fascinating to me is how, you know, I've been thinking about this over the years, particularly in the last 2 years, and particularly writing my book, Is Atheism Dead?, how information travels, how knowledge travels, and how information and knowledge are squelched and suppressed.
Yes.
And so you have a medical establishment that, out of sheer greed or fear or whatever it is the same reason that the Aristotelians and the universities and the churches were frightened to death by what Galileo saw through the telescope.
Right.
They immediately want to shut it down.
That's it.
Or it, you know why? It's embarrassing for them. That, well, how come we haven't looked at this? But it's interesting, because as you talk, you realize this sounds like holistic medicine. You're looking at everything. You're not just saying, is this or this or this? You're saying, well, there may be a history of physical trauma. Let's talk about that. And then, I mean, you know, you don't even need to be a Christian to do that, right?
Correct.
If you have that information, you can go to somebody, and I don't know whether it's going to be a Freudian therapist or somebody, but to try to deal with that trauma, whatever it is. Now, we know praying is that's the real way to deal with it. But the point is that we're talking about reality. We're talking about events that maybe happened, maybe didn't happen. And so you deal with that, and you deal with these various different things. You don't cast a spirit out until you're at the tail end of this. She's already walking around the room and dealing with stuff.
Right.
But there are all these different pieces to it. And anybody who lives in a silo and says, no, it's only this, or it's only this, or it's only this, these people are really living in fear that it will be determined that their little world is not the universe. And you see this over and over and over again, that people have a very myopic sense of things. They're the dogs in the manger. It's like they'd rather that nobody get healed if it's not their way. And they want to keep people like you away. It's just bizarre. It occurs to me when we come back talking to Ken Fish, Orbis Ministries, ORBIS, orbisministries.org.
She was making for the trades on the outside.
In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show talking to Ken Fish. Ken, I've got a big question for you. What's the last time you went to MyPillow.com and used the code ERIC? Don't answer that question. I want you to pray about it, and I'll ask you later. Okay, you just said something to me about a couple that you had encountered who had been cursed.
That's right.
By Satanists.
That's correct.
Which I think of as a negative thing.
I do, too.
Can you want to talk about that? Where, what part of the world?
This is the same church that I was just describing in Atlanta, Georgia.
In Atlanta.
Yeah. And this couple had, they'd been in the ministry, and they had taken in a woman who was down on her luck. And it's a very long story, but the gist of it is that this young woman that they'd taken in, this is years ago, she was bred, is really the right word for it, with the objective that she would be wed to Satan. Now, for some of our listeners there, I just, you know, sort of blew every circuit that they have, and they have smoke coming out of their ears.
And then some.
Springs, you know, popping out of their head.
Well, look, for mental health, most people have to believe that that world doesn't exist. And I'm sort of one of those people. When you hear something that sick, you kind of don't want to know about it because it's too much to bear.
Well, that's correct.
You're talking about a world. Listen.
But you know what that really is?
Yeah.
Well, look, we know it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong. David Berkowitz, who became infamous as the Son of Sam, has talked about this.
This is correct.
That there are actual satanic cults.
Absolutely.
Not Ozzy Osbourne acting wacky, but actual satanic cults. It's
That's
as
right.
dark and sick as it gets. This is real. So you're telling me that when you were in Atlanta very recently, you met a woman... a couple, rather.
Yes.
So say more.
So they'd taken in this young woman years ago, like 33 years ago. And this woman, as I said, was bred with the objective that she would be wed to Satan. And she was told that she was going to die on a specific day.
And so this is right out of Rosemary's Baby. I mean, this is really sick stuff. And again, there's some people that have no categories for this
stuff. I understand
stuff.
That.
And I want to challenge these people, folks. You need to suck it up, open your mind, listen, think about this. We're not making it up. So this woman, you said, was born. Her parents obviously were Satanists.
Yes, they were.
And that she was born and they wanted her. I guess they think this is a wonderful thing. It's like, I want my child to be married to Jesus. I want my child to become a nun. I want my child, except this is the antithesis.
Right. And I think, you know, at the most fundamental level, there's just a sense, you know, there's the thing called the conscience. We don't use that word very much anymore. But these people, their conscience has been seared. But they still, I mean, at some point, they knew right from wrong. And, you know, you don't breed children to marry them to Satan. You don't set them up so that there would be a date certain for their death where they are sacrificed, which is what she was being set up
yeah,
for.
Yeah, incidentally, there is nothing sicker than this. This
right.
is about as sick as it conceivably gets.
That's right. So anyway, there was a date certain where she was told she would be dying. And as that day got nearer.
Wait. What's the age of this kid?
She was like 24 years old.
Okay, so now I'm confused.
It was 33 years ago that this event happened. I'm trying to give you the backstory to what happened in Atlanta.
But what I'm trying to understand, I'm not getting the backstory. In other words, you're saying that they'd taken a woman who had been her parents bred her, had her to quote unquote marry her to Satan, and at age 24 she was supposed to die.
That's correct.
So in those 24 years. What kind of life had this woman been?
Terrible. She'd been through all kinds of satanic rituals, blood sacrifice, killing of animals. I mean, there was all kinds of things that went on as part of that satanic preparation for the wedding ceremony and her specific date certain death.
And this is – was she in the Atlanta area?
I don't know
okay.
where that was.
Okay. But at around this age – at what age does she come, under this couple?
So this couple had taken her in about a year and a half before, so maybe 22 and a half years
okay.
old.
Okay, so she's a supremely troubled young woman.
Right.
And they take her into their home.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so they've been caring for her, and, you know, she little by little opens up, and she says, I'm going to die on this date. And as that date begins to get closer, she becomes ill. Really ill, like seriously ill, and her life is slipping away, and this couple is praying for her. You know, they call their church to pray for her, and the doctors, again, no diagnosis, can't figure out what's wrong. We just know that she seems to be dying, and we don't know what to do. And this couple, as they're interceding for her, I'm going to really truncate this because we're on the air and we only have a limited amount of time, but they hit a point of breakthrough. And when this girl is right at the point of dying. She's 6 hours away from the clock tolling over to the next day. She slowly starts to come up, and she makes it past midnight. And then it takes her about 3 weeks to fully recover. But she's crossed out of her death date.
Okay, so she beat the curse.
She beat the curse. And as the couple are driving her home in their car, the wife of this couple that I ministered to, an evil spirit appears to her and says, "Because you rescued her, I'm going to kill you instead of her."
This sounds like some of the old fairy tales that you read. There's a reality there. When we come back, we want to hear the rest of this at least fascinating story. We're talking to Ken Fish. Hey, folks, if you listen to this program, of course, you've heard me talk ad infinitum about MyPillow and my friend Mike Lindell. Well, Mike has just announced that you will receive one of his books, and the book is Next Level Insane. It is called What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. It's his story. You will receive it absolutely free with any purchase using the promo code Eric. Did you hear that? It would be a great time, by the way, to buy his warm and wonderful My Slippers. For a limited time, he's offering 50% off My Slippers. We all wear them in my extended family, My Slippers. Check it out. 50% off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code Eric. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including some overstock products, such as individual towels, blankets, comforters, and much more. Or call 800-978-3057. That's 800-978-3057. Use the promo code ERIC. Folks, welcome back. All right, Ken, so you're telling me this event in the car that happens when this girl is, what, 24?
The girl is 24.
She has just lived past
her death date.
That she had been cursed by her parents, that she's going to die in this date. This couple ministers to her. She lives through it. They're driving her home, and a demon appears
to the wife of this couple. Not the girl.
Right.
The couple.
And says, because you have
rescued
this woman, your life is going to be taken.
That's right.
Okay.
Your life
and to be clear, this car ride we're talking about happened 33 years ago.
It happened 33 years ago.
Okay.
And so for 33 years, the wife of this couple has her entire life just fell apart. She lost all of her appetite and literally had no appetite for 33 years. She had various crippling and debilitating diseases. The doctors couldn't figure anything out. She had pains that would materialize in her body. There was no particular reason that she should have these pains.
Now, what again, we're talking about 33 years of misery.
Correct.
What happened to the young woman who at age 24, whose life was spared? Does she come back into the story?
Well, she, as I said, it took her about 3 weeks fully to recover from that, near-death experience. And she stayed with them for a period of time. But having survived beyond her death date, she ultimately, went on to other things and kind of exited their world.
Okay, so this Christian couple now is left picking up the pieces.
That's correct.
For 30-plus years.
Right.
And they end up in this church with you a few days ago.
That's right. You have the story correct.
Okay.
And I will say, back in that 33 years ago time frame, they had awakened right after this in the morning, and there was a dead cat on their front doorstep with its neck, its throat cut. So the head is partially detached.
Right.
And the entrails have been removed.
Right.
And they've been laid out on the
door.
Okay,
and we know that's pretty good evidence that it's not a suicide on the cat's part.
Right.
I'm sorry. I have to make jokes when things get so hideous.
And these are the kinds of things that you hear about when these kinds of curses are being put on people.
Yeah.
And they can vary. People use different...
But what's so crazy is that some Satanist did that.
Well, and that they knew, and now they were cursing this couple, it basically in response to what this demon in the car had said.
So, in other words, there is a spiritual reality on the God side and on the demonic side.
Correct.
This is real.
That's correct.
Or we're just making this up. Who knows? Okay, go ahead.
So this woman has been debilitated for years, and no one has been able to figure out.
But she knew it was because of this curse, because of this demon she saw 33 years ago.
Right. There was, I mean, but, you know, no doctor is going to think about that, right? So they come looking for prayer, and so I met with them and prayed. And it was a longer interview. It had some of that divine understanding, you know, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits that I got on top of the interview. And it was a relatively short prayer engagement. But when I laid hands on her, it was almost like a funnel of power came on her body. And she began to shake violently. And, you know, I began speaking to these curses and the spirits that enforce them, because curses won't work if there's no demonic power behind them. Sometimes people utter curses and they're just empty words. They don't sound nice, but there's no ability to affect anything. And this is why a lot of times, at least with a secular mind, we dismiss curses. It's just, you know, blow them off, forget it. But when there is a demonic power behind it, and you're dealing with a genuine satanic cult that summons demons, that assigns demons, that responds to demons, that's functioning in this kind of a dimension, this is a completely different ballgame. So this funnel of power comes over this woman, and so we broke the curses. We drove the evil spirits out. And I would just say, without elaborating, that the cult, as a result of all of this, had managed to gain a kind of access into this woman, not the girl, the woman. And they were using that to continually harass and debilitate her in her dreams and in her thought state and so forth. And so this cone or funnel of power came over her body, and it was over in about maybe 15 minutes. And she was like, I can't believe how different I feel. I feel alive again. I've felt like my bones were crumbling and I was filled with dust, and I feel alive again. And on the way home from that prayer engagement, she said to her husband, I'm hungry. Can we go get some food? Again, this is a woman who had zero appetite in 33 years and had, you know, she ate because she needed to survive, but she had no desire to eat at all. So this is all, you know, transformative stuff. And I've already heard back. She went to her doctor, and her doctor said, I don't know what happened to you, but every single level in your blood tests has shifted. And everything that was looking like you were dying and it was low or too high, everything has come into alignment. And so I don't know what happened to you. Tell me this story again. What happened to you? Some guy prayed for you? That's what happened.
Well, the thing is that it makes me want to leave a dead cat at the doctor's doorstep. Just saying. But that's the flesh.
Well, I'm not trying to make doctors the enemy.
No, of course not. But yeah. What's crazy, look, forget the doctor. The church, 33 years.
Right.
These people, they have to wait 33 years till Ken Fish shows up at their church in Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta but I mean, think about this.
Right.
That you're suffering with this, and that they have to wait 30 something years before somebody can come who can help them with this.
That's right.
That's the madness in which we live. The American church, to some extent, or to various extents, is useless. I mean, it's just, can you imagine dealing with this and there's no place to go? You show up, you have the ability to pray for this and stuff, which is why I know you're training people to do this. It's just so important. Let me get in a commercial, orbisministries.org. It's not a
commercial.
And
if they want to check out the school website directly, it's orbissm.com.
Orbisministries.org, and everything is available from there.
Right.
This is, I tell you though, Ken, though, it's just so important what we're talking about. I think we're going to have to leave it there.
Right.
It's always a joy to have you, my friend. Thank you.
It's always
you.
Good to be here.
Folks, check out orbisministries.org. So many people need help. So many people. Think about them, and God bless you. Albin.
Hey, Eric.
Happy Valentine's Day, Albin.
Oh, thanks to you too.
The flowers are in the mail.
Oh, listen, good. The chocolate's in the mail to you too.
We've been talking today to our friend Ken Fish.
Yeah.
Lots to say, more to say about Ken Fish. I was with him this weekend, but before I forget, really key stuff that I have to mention today. This is the end of hour two, so I hope most people are still listening. Yesterday, I got an email. Justice Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court Justice, hero of the United States of America, read my Is Atheism Dead book and read my Miracles book, and he wanted to talk to me on the phone about them.
Wow.
So I want to tell that story tomorrow. It's actually an unbelievable story. Tomorrow, in the opening minutes of the program, I will talk about that. You won't believe it tomorrow. Also yesterday, David French wrote an article, one of the most horrific. I mean, it's really despicable. He is a proclaimed Christian who has been bitterly anti-Trump, but he has now written an article accusing people like me and Christians generally of effectively, it's hard for me even to say these words, really of inciting violence. It is so despicable. It's just shocking to me. We're going to be talking about this with John Zmirak. We're going to be talking with this about Larry Taunton. But it is just crazy to me that somebody like David French would be writing stuff like this. I mean, I've disagreed with him a lot about a lot of stuff, but it is really, things have stooped to a level of ugliness that's just shocking. I normally don't even respond to this stuff, but it was so, he names me in the article. He links to my debate with him and this and that. But it is so, we're living in such divided, difficult times. So I want to process this tomorrow with John Zmirak. And of course, with Larry Taunton. And we will also talk to John Zmirak about Ukraine. He has an article that we posted all over my social media about why we must not get sucked into Ukraine. We'll talk to John about that tomorrow.
Wow.
But later this week, we have a really big interview. Some of you know Brandon Strock. Brandon Strock is a hero, a freedom lover. He is, he's identified as gay, but he had this kind of experience, where he realized he was no longer a liberal and he started advocating for Trump. So he's been a really amazingly brave figure. And on January 6th, for doing absolutely nothing, he was, let me put it this way. He's been through hell. And we want him to be on this program to tell his story. So that won't be tomorrow, but I think Wednesday, we will give him the time to tell his story. It's astonishing. And everybody needs to know what he and so many others are going through. So we're going to tell that story. We've also got Sean Boltz coming on the program. And I've got, I've just got a lot to share tomorrow about, about Clarence Thomas. You're not going to believe it. But I think that's it. We want to remind everyone, you can support us by going to our Give, Send, Go page, Give, Send, Go, Eric Metaxas. You can support the program by supporting our sponsors, MyPillow.com, MyStore.com, Nutramedics.com. Use the code Eric. We are grateful for you. We're living in weird times. That's putting it mildly. Yeah. But I want to encourage everybody to keep their eyes on God. To love our enemies. We don't have to agree with them. That's why they're our enemies, but we can love them. And even as we fight, we pray for them. That's who we are. That's who I am. And I want to encourage you to be, to do the same thing. So God bless you. Happy Valentine's Day. We'll see you later.
Yes. Happy Valentine's Day.